Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Robert Stottleman. I'm very delicious, but don't take my word for it, because I'm wrestlicious.
Dear God.
I'm sorry.
What the heck? What was that?
Jason, you don't want to know.
I sent him the link.
I think you stole a line from my script.
No, you stole a line from John Cena's last promo.
All right, let's just move on and let's just announce the six pack of lunatics. First of all, a man from New York City who has been secretly revealed as Meredith Vieira's secret lover, Jason Block.
Wow, news to me. Yeah. Anyone know that John Cena had a movie coming out this week?
Yeah.
No.
You don't say.
Right.
News to me.
News to me. It's only been advertised about 50 billion times on ECW alone.
Right. All right.
Speaking of a man from New York City who is now Nikki Hilton's secret lover, VRM.
First of all, not from New York City. I'm in Albany. Second of all, why did you send me that link? I'm having nightmares about it now.
Feel my pain.
Is this that picture of Captain Kirk and Spock in the bathtub again?
It's worse.
And then we have the pride and joy of Paul Heyman's sister and his and her husband, Nikki Heyman.
That's niece. But, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will not be afraid. For I think I'm cute, I know I'm sexy, and I've got the looks that drive the girls wild. Wait a minute.
Now, that's awesome.
The looks that drive all the girls wild, Nikki? I think you might have to be in San Francisco for that. Or in
no,
case,
but
Seattle.
Alas, you did not catch the reference, and I demand a win.
Yeah, okay.
I did catch the reference, but I was trying to be funny. Instead, I was being stupid. Here's your win.
Yeah.
Thank
you. God. Yes.
And then next is Roseanne Barr's secret lover 4. Step boy Josh Henniger.
Thank you. Nice to be back. Sorry about being away for so long. Spring break kind of leaped on me. Last week, YouTube sucked me in. I blame Robot Wars for everything.
Yes, and I'm sure Mick Foley loves you for it as well. And finally, we have the person that's closest to WrestleMania, which means he's the person closest to Edge. To that stupid love triangle thing, Typho.
You know, after seeing the end of SmackDown tonight, I've come to the conclusion that Mordecai sure has aged since the last time we saw him.
Oh! Bow to that.
Ooh!
Wow!
I bow to that. Thank you.
Although,
2 wins, 5 minutes. Well done.
Not well done. Yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's get to Sean Lord. We had a premiere this week. It doesn't involve John Cena.
Oh.
Thank
God.
H. That's right. Ring of Honor had its television debut this week. Who saw it?
I did not because I don't have an HD box. Nor do I believe it's on DirecTV. Or is it?
I missed it live, but I taped it, so I'll go ahead and spoil it because I'm here for SmackDown anyway, so go ahead.
I almost did, but I don't have the right cable box. Well, not the right cable box, but I don't have the right package for our HDNet.
It's up on YouTube.
Yeah, I've seen the first segment. It's like, no more, please.
Really? You didn't like it?
Well, I think it's mainly because of the commentating team for him.
Yeah.
I talked to Step Boy before the show, I think last night. I gave him the link to the YouTube videos of the show. The commentary is, instead of Dave Prazak and Lenny Leonard, who normally does the pay-per-views, it's Dave Prazak and a guy by the name of Mike Hogwood, who is normally known for doing ACC football.
Uh-huh. And we saw what happened to the last sportscaster who went on the wrestling TV. Mike Adamley.
Coming soon to Ring of Honor, Mike Adamley.
There you go.
That's right, Daniel Bryanston.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, that was the Mike Adamley theme.
Yes, I know, but still crappy.
Yeah.
This was the Raw theme.
So what did you think, Rob?
I thought it was a very fun show. I didn't have any problems with Mike Hogwood and Dave Prazak. If I did have a problem with the boring interview guy, Kyle Durden. He just droned on and on, but the show was actually really good. We saw some great matches between Delirious and Jerry Lynn. Indeed.
Sorry.
One of Nikki's favorite people, Sami Callihan, wrestled in a losing effort to Rhett Titus, but to Kenny King.
Only because I haven't necessarily worked with him, but I worked it. He was the one who helped get me my break at IPW as a commentator.
Right on. We also had Rhett Titus versus Brent Albright in another good match.
I happen to love Rhett Titus. I think he's got a great, great gimmick.
It's like Rick Rude for the new generation.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Doing something that both the heartthrobs and the dicks can never do. Get over.
All funny.
And finally, we have the main event of Jimmy Jacobs versus Tyler Black. And if Trista were here, she would faint. Anyways, and you wouldn't know it, the way it was shot, that was done in the ECW arena.
Yeah, no, well, now let me ask you this in a legitimately serious question.
Okay.
Do you think that it was the start of something of a potential, like, you know, TNA doing their pay-per-views at $10 a month and then getting a TV deal? Where do you think this is going?
Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
I see the TV show lasting until HDNet says no more. It's
mm-hmm.
a great wrestling show, and to be honest, I think HDNet is a good start for them. It's a good launching pad. They have some connections to other networks, so once they get bigger, they could easily step up to maybe like a Spike or a G4.
He's Kevin Ferrara doesn't do the commentary. I don't want to hear anybody complaining.
Oh,
well, I mean, I
want... Speaking of Kevin Pereira, I know this is not Room 101, but I have to do this to that dumbass Kevin Pereira.
Yeah, throw him in. I've already seen it.
Actually, can we throw Gabe in there for keeping Ring of Honor off TV all this time?
Who, okay. Gabe Sapolsky? No?
Yes. Why not?
No,
because he created this particular federation and brought it up to what it is, okay? He may have been
called, but okay, I'll just get him an MMA mallet later.
Yeah, you'll hit him over the head with a mallet later. I'm just saying to you right now, we want more competition. This is not, we don't want the WWE to be the 1,000-pound gorilla, as we'll find out in a little while, because Vince believes his own hype.
Couple things. All right. Good points, Jason.
Go ahead.
A couple things I have to knock about the show. I mean, the backstage interview guy, Kyle Dern, is not that good. However, if you take a look at the latest ROH video wire, Colt Cabana comes in and literally punks him out, doing the usual Colt Cabana thing. All right. I'm talking about cool Colt Cabana, not Scotty Goldman.
That's crazy.
Yeah, kind of the same thing. And Mike Hogwood. Now, I know this is his first show, and I have a definite suspicion that he'll get a lot better.
Yeah.
But as the first show, it's not that great. But we'll talk about more of Hogwood's announcing a little bit later on. Because we have a special game that we're going to do tonight, and Hogwood's in it.
Yeah.
Right now, let's toss it over to Jason Block for this week's What the Fuck Did They Just Say?
Yeah, that's about it. There were a ton of really dumb quotes said by a lot of people this week. John Cena said we won't get to John Cena in a little while, but Vince McMahon was interviewed in the Hollywood Reporter.
That's right.
Sorry. To promote WrestleMania 25, which, by the way, if you guys don't know, is happening on April 5th. He said a couple of things. First, whether WWE is concerned with TNA's competition. My concern with TNA, quote, is not in terms of competition. My concern with TNA is that they're TV-14 and we are PG. They have to change with the times. I think some of the things they do on television are reprehensible, but it's a TV-14 rating. That's the only bone I have to pick with them. Their TV ratings are a fraction of ours. Second fun idiot quote. MMA and UFA's impact on WWE. Most people thought at one point that we would be competitors, but it turns out they are not competition to us at all or hardly at all. They are sport. We are. Yeah, thank you. They are sport. We are entertainment. It's a huge difference. The reference cut into is that of boxing. Unquote, and that's another lie. And the final quote, Triple H's use of a sledgehammer in the Randy Orton home invasion. Right. What we try to do in situations like that is use things that you can't find around the house. Huh. You will never see us use a baseball bat. You don't find folding metal chairs around the house. We are very selective. You can go up to the line at storytelling. That's how our business thrives if you have well-defined characters and put them in the right storyline against other characters. People care about their welfare. Now, I think Dixie Carter.
Hey, Jason, you know what I'm holding in my hand right now?
Dear God, let it hope. What is it?
A folding metal chair.
Yes, okay.
So, pull on Vince for that, but continue.
Yes, Dixie Carter had the greatest quote in the UK Sun Sport today. Quote. I think it's a wonderful that Vince has watched his TNA impact and agree with him that such as the brutal beating of a 60-year-old man, a vicious home invasion, and gratuitous man-on-woman violence can be seen as reprehensible. And that's just the last three Monday nights, unquote. So, yeah, snap. So, okay. Now, my opinion about Vince McMahon is that he's probably smoking the drugs that Rob Van Dam left a few years back.
Ooh.
Seriously.
Oh.
Okay. Why are you booing me? Or are you booing the quotes?
I'm booing your insinuation. Vince McMahon has been drunk on his ego since 1992. He doesn't need any other pharmaceutical enhancement.
Okay, fine. Okay, that's fair. But, I mean, is any of this... okay. Does anyone believe any of that to be true? I mean, seriously? I mean,
know about the MMA because they're a good competition right now because they could do a pay-per-view of next month, which is what? UFC 99, I believe.
Yes, UFC 99. But let me tell you something honestly right here, right now, okay? UFC 100 is Lesnar Mir 2, correct?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a million buys easy.
How much you want to bet that that makes more money and more buys than WrestleMania 25? How much you want to put the money on that?
I don't bet on sure things.
Yeah, that's even money. It's guaranteed.
But I personally don't see them as competition because there's so little overlap in the fan bases.
Of MMA and wrestling? I disagree. I think there's a very big competition in that. I think a lot of fans, you know, believe in both and like both.
I've run into too many people who are one or the other, but rarely find anybody who's both. And I've been kicked out of rooms when they're talking UFC.
Oh.
Because personally, you know, they bitch. You know, they say, "Oh, but wasn't that an awesome match?" And I said, "Yeah, it was less than 2 minutes." And you bitched about this on Monday nights. But how could you compare that? They're two completely different things.
Okay. But getting back though. What about Vince and his hypocrisy, though?
Vince has been a hypocrite since when? 1985, when the first WrestleMania came out, and that was such a runaway success?
Personally, I'm used to Vince's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
I think it was early onset Alzheimer's myself. And Vince, unfortunately, thinks he's God, has surrounded himself with yes men to reinforce that. As for his daughter, who can't write nor act, in a major role, and she will probably be taking over the company once he dies. Company might go with him if Stephanie is put in charge.
And then you got Linda, and she is distanced herself quite far from the WWE.
No, I don't think so. I think she appears to be distant, but if you think she doesn't know what's going on in the business, you got another thing coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you got Shane.
You got Shane, and you got Paul, Evil Doc, who is eventually going to lead the company, you think?
Yes.
I think Trips should take care of the wrestling side of the business.
Does.
Steph should take care of the business part. Shane will probably join Trips in the wrestling side, but on a lesser note.
Mm-hmm.
Linda will probably die 5 years after Vince dies.
Well, you don't know that. But still, it's just an absolute dumb thing for him to say. TNA should be viewed as competition. It would be a great thing if he did. Don't you think? I mean, from a logical perspective.
It's competition until they start beating him in the ratings.
And they never will. Because
so
they've got...
Does not have any... So, Vince... Doesn't
care. I mean,
actually, good business.
I think it's a good. I think TNA is still trying to grow. Let's face it. You have. How long has TNA been in business? 7 years. How long was WWE in business before they even had a TV deal? I know it's kind of comparing apples to oranges because when WWE got their first TV deal, there was only 3 channels, and it was territorial. It was local TV at the time when they ran Washington, D.C. before they migrated up to New York. Oh, I will. Trust me. I'm off for the next TV. And did TV out of there and then syndicated. But with TNA debuting the way that they were debuting, which was high risk to start off with,
what?
Not even doing groundwork. I mean, not even doing a few independent shows to get your name out there.
what, to do a $10 per week pay-per-view show? You think that was pretty dangerous?
Yeah, because you could easily have charged, $15, $20 for tickets. And, just hype all these people, just make it a big WrestleFest thing, say it's going to be there for 13 weeks, and you could probably get 2,000 to 3,000 people in an arena.
I mean, now how long did they, again, this is just a general question, how long did they run as a pay-per-week show? About a year?
No, longer than that.
Two and a half, maybe.
Yeah, two and a half years
until
they got Impact on MSN.
They still ran weekly pay-per-views at least 4 to 5 months into Impact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so
they used Impact to promote the pay-per-views still.
Which was amazing, not for nothing, because if you're doing that and you're running $10 a week, I mean, that's basically a money raiser to a point, right?
Not really. Because if I remember the FSN deal, they paid for the airtime. DNA paid out of pocket for the airtime.
I don't know. I'll probably call you this week.
Okay.
And that ran until like June of 2005 when Fox Sports Net went to the dumpster.
No, Fox Sports Net's still around.
No. I mean, programming-wise, it went to the dumpster. I mean, original programming-wise, it went to the dumpster because around that time they canceled a really decently rated show in IMAX. Sports list, and they neutered a Best Damn.
Mm-hmm. Well, but getting back to the original idea, TNA Impact, this is a hypocrite. We all know he's a hypocrite. But the idea is that do we really think WrestleMania 25 is going to be the success that he thinks it's going to be?
No. Especially since from when we last talked, aren't there still front row, chair seats available?
Hold on.
There always are.
There are, yeah.
And
Nikki,
there
if I am
are.
Correct, and Nikki, if I am correct, Raw ratings went down yet again, correct?
Yep.
I haven't seen the Raw ratings this week, but they probably did.
3.5.
Which would be, yes.
I've been getting for the last couple of years.
Yes, Vince's ramblings to the Hollywood Reporter
that
was a nice little topic to speak about, mainly because Vince was prattling on like somebody prattles on.
Well, he's still recovering from that punch, so you never know with this guy.
He's had many near-death experiences recently, so.
Yeah, I know. He could.
Okay. Here's something new. Right now, they're Ticket Crapper, because they're trying to get rid of tickets, is selling the $155 tickets in a for $400. Four for $400.
Oh, wow.
That's insane. That's nuts.
I walked up at WrestleMania X7 and bought tickets the day of the event. Good, pretty good seats, too. In big stadium shows like that, it's going to happen.
So, I mean, now how far are you from Houston, if I may ask?
It's probably like a five, six-hour drive.
You going to make the drive this year?
I've thought about it, and we'll see.
Okay. Do you mind if I segue into the actual WrestleMania card, Mr. Seidelman?
Hold on. Before you do, there are now no more floor seats.
That's good. Honestly, this week they've done a really good job of actually building to the card. This is the first time that I think they've really done what they needed to do to build the card.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, how cool was it to see Ric Flair get his ass kicked? I mean, no offense. It was great for him to do the blade job. Not the blade. No, that was hard way. I mean, you know, he needed 11 staples from that camera shot. You remember?
Yes, as I understand. As I go to WWE.com, get on the WrestleMania 25 website and get the matches, I'm bombarded with two promos for 12 rounds.
Well,
I heard
okay,
that
well,
came out today.
Yeah, no, I actually have the WrestleMania card at the moment.
Well, I'm on the WWE website to look at the WrestleMania card.
Okay.
If I have to click on main events.
Yeah, pretty much.
It looks like they have... I kind of like what they how they set up this right here, the main page for the WrestleMania 25.
It's a really cool web page. I will give it that. It's an excellent
yeah.
web page.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 matches so far. I think
that's a WrestleMania show right there.
That's it. I don't think there's going to be any other new matches added.
All right, so let's talk about it right now. Match by match, we'll start at the bottom, we'll go to the top. We start off with the match that Jason Block kind of ranted on last week. Chris Jericho versus the WWE Legends, that being Piper, Snuka, and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
With Ric Flair in his corner and Mickey Rourke at ringside. There was a TMZ video this week with Chris Jericho taunting Mickey Rourke yet again and ripping on Barack Obama pretty much and his abs, which was really funny if you saw it. If you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
They really did a good job building this match this week with the beatdown of Ric Flair, although I thought the Jerry Lawler Chris Jericho match was a long time coming, but him standing there while Flair's getting beat up was a bit ludicrous.
Yeah, he should have at least protected him a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Got a little bit dirty.
I heard Steamboat said in an interview he thinks that he's about 80% as good as he was years ago. I hope that he is right. I hate to say that he has to shoulder the load, but
yeah,
and Snuka to some degree really. I like them. They're great they're great legends, but I don't know if they can keep up in ring. You know.
If I remember correctly, Piper could go like 10 at most.
Not even 10. He's out there with a fake hip.
5. About 5 minutes, Snuka. Last time I seen him wrestle, that was a cage match against Jeff Jarrett.
No, he's gotten a lot worse. He doesn't even get to the top rope. He gets to the second rope.
Yeah.
Okay. So the way this match, I believe, is going to be booked, and at least I hope is going to be booked, is that Jericho beats the Legends within the span of 5 to 10 minutes, and then Mickey Rourke comes in and kicks his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, me and Nikki know this, if Chels would see this match, she would kill. That's the 25 Diva Battle Royal, which will be my vote for worst match of the night.
No. But you know what? But you know what? You've got Gail Kim coming back. Her made her debut tonight on SmackDown, which was kind of cool. Going to be fun to see some of the old divas, put Trish in there. It'll be okay. won't be that bad.
Well, at least if we heard correctly, Mae Young's not going to do it.
Thank God.
Really?
I mean, yeah, thank God.
Thank you.
Where'd you get that from, if I may ask?
It was something I read on the WrestleCraft forums that said Mae Young's not going to do it.
Okay.
All right. But if Mae Young does, then it's guaranteed worst match tonight because we already know who's going to win.
By the time she comes down to the ring, it'll be WrestleMania 40.
There you go.
The old Iron Sheik gimmick battle royal rule. If you can't take the bump, you win the match.
Pretty much like Andre and all those battle royals.
Mm-hmm.
They could at least do the Haystacks Calhoun thing of having where everyone has to pin her.
Okay. That because we got a half hour, we want to do the food chain as well. So
yeah, it's pretty quick. Food chain usually goes pretty quick. Money in the Bank ladder match. We all know it's going to be a great match.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, we still don't know who's going to win it. I'm voting. I think Christian's going to win it right now. But please put Evan Bourne in there. Make it 9. Right. Go on.
Instead of Henry.
That's Ben.
I think that they should probably replace CM Punk in the match, if only because I think Punk needs something more to do. It seems like every WrestleMania he's wrestled at, he's been in Money in the Bank. Am I wrong, or?
He may be.
Third straight.
Okay.
Third straight.
He was good in the match, but give him something unique to do.
Well, he was one of his thugs in WrestleMania 22.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
Okay.
Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, again, that's going to blow the house down.
That should be the main event. Let's just move back the title matches and make that the last match of the night.
Screw the title matches.
And I want this match to start at 10:15, 45 minutes, because I'm going to be yelling, please don't stop, please don't stop. Because this is going to be the match, especially if tonight's promo that Michaels did, which was fan-freaking-tastic.
I'm going to go all the way and say preemptive match of the year.
Wow.
Yes. I might jump on that bandwagon, too.
We don't know about that because there's another match in here that could be.
WWE Tag Team the Unified Tag Team Champion match.
Not that one.
No, it's not that one. But you know what?
No.
It could be good. Could be
good. That one will be good. Here's the one that I think you say would be match of the night, preemptive match of the year. Jeff versus Matt.
In an Extreme Rules match, that's going to be at 20, 25 minutes of plunder and all that good stuff. They know what to do.
I'm just hoping that they brawl around the stadium.
Oh, they
had better. A lot of area to cover.
I mean, that would be fun. Get to the near the end line and have a preemptive end line there. Matt just plants Jeff with a twist of fate and he goes, touchdown!
Or something to that effect. And by the way, this is not going to be the end. This is just going to be the beginning of a very nice feud, we hope.
Can I be honest? That's what I hate about WrestleMania now. It's not the feud ender that it once was. It's the feud beginner. And that takes away some of the luster of WrestleMania. I'll give you a great example. Remember when we started 1985, the first WrestleMania? I'm going old school here. We had a great feud starting between Mr. T, Hulk Hogan versus Orton, Orndorff, and Piper. That was the end all be all the feud. That was the selling point to WrestleMania. Right now, for WrestleMania 25, it seems like the selling point is Michaels Undertaker in a defending of the streak.
Pretty much. All right.
Yeah. This is a contender for worst match of the night, sad to say, because both these guys... Ray's pretty beat up. JBL on his way out.
It could be good, but I'm not holding out hope.
Neither am I.
I was going to say, it could be at least passable, but it does seem like they'll be going through the motions for 10 minutes or even 15 minutes, however long they've given.
Jerking.
It'd have to be like 8 minutes.
It'll be the opener.
No, the opener will be Money in the Bank. Has to be.
No, Money in the Bank never opens the show. It's like it's always like the second or third match.
It opened WrestleMania 23.
Yep.
Yeah, it did.
I was there, so I put the Battle Royal in front of it.
Okay.
All right, but anyway, okay.
Triple threat match. Winner not only gets the world title, but
Vicky's heart, her ass, her boobs, anything else. Yes.
More important.
Yes. And sadly, the only thing that's desirable in that thing is the title.
If they're focusing on Vicky.
Yeah,
so it should be the first person, the winner gets the title, the loser gets Vicky, and the third person goes to
Raw. No,
which means we're all hoping for Big Show to pin John Cena.
Yeah, exactly. But honestly speaking, the two main event matches, Edge and Triple, you know, world title match and WWE title match, are not focusing on the belt. They're focusing on the personal gaga, which is baloney and BS and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it just became a prop now.
Yep.
Russo hit it on the head. The belt's now a prop.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hit it on the head with the door to room 101.
But again, shaping up to be interesting, but I think this week overall with the WWE... The WWE overall did a very good job with the tag matches, with the Money in the Bank participants, with John Cena. They are building to WrestleMania nicely. The question is, are people willing to fork $55 to see it?
Me? $55. Still no.
I guess I'm still the only one on the show.
Well, it's just perceived value. You know, that's all. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with what you're doing. I'm just saying perceived value.
Right. An HBK Undertaker is worth $55 any day of the year.
Okay.
And so is Matt and Jeff, and so is the Money in the Bank match. You're not getting it on one match. I'm getting it for one match. There.
That's cool.
Okay. You guys ready to have some fun?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yep.
Before we do, I just want to say, Kofi, MVP, and Henry on the same team, New Nation.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Not
all
it's
missing
cat.
Is Clarence Mason.
It's Tony Atlas does wear
the
tie.
Owen Hart, that's not nice.
I think Clarence Mason, not Owen Hart. Who said Owen Hart?
I thought Owen Hart was... Oh, well, never mind.
All right.
Sorry, I wasn't watching.
Okay. You guys ready to play the food chain?
Yep.
Yes.
Here's how it works. I'm going to give you two guys to start. Actually, Jason already knows the rules. Since, yes, we directly ripped this off of GameShowNewsNet.com's We Love to Interrupt.
Who's Your Daddy is what you're doing, basically.
Yeah, Who's Your Daddy.
Okay.
Who's Your Daddy, but I call it the food chain to even further rip off Pardon the Interruption.
Yep, and that's where I know it from.
So what's going to happen here is I'm going to give you the topic this week, wrestling broadcasters. We're going to start off with the 10 current wrestling broadcasters right now in a random order, thanks to my brother Garrett, who I pulled away from his Pokemon game just to do this.
Pokemon?
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you again.
Mix them up. And then afterwards, I have personally selected 6 names from the past to throw in. You guys ready?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
His order, you start off with his number 1, Jim Ross. And then number 2, Dave Prazak. Where do you put him?
Ross above Prazak.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Agreed.
Okay, let me just get a pencil and a... Hold on. Let me tear this up. Tear it off. We have Ross. Above Prazak. Next up, Taz.
In between, of course, below Ross. Below Ross, above Prazak.
Yeah.
That's where I have him.
Are we all in agreement?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's where we might get some middling ground. Jerry Lawler.
Below Taz.
Correct.
Below Taz.
Right below Taz, above Prazak.
Wow, not a lot of Prazak fans.
I don't know him.
I haven't seen him, so I'm going to have to... I really have to rank him at the bottom, unfortunately.
Mm.
I have somebody that's going to go lower than Prazak, but I'm going to wait till he's mentioned.
Yes.
I have a few people.
All of us do, I think.
Go on, Mr. Simon.
Next up. Oh! I think we all can agree this guy's lower than Prazak. Don West.
Yep.
Bottom!
Yes. A million times yes.
Bottom!
I have to go lower than Don West, but I don't know if he's going to be on this list, so keep going.
Send him all the way down to the hotel bar.
Next up. What'd
he say?
Oh. Mike Hogwood.
Who?
Mike Hogwood, I would put him right now right above Don West.
That's about right, yep.
Yeah. I'm going to say above Don West as well, because he's only had one episode to not be that good at.
Yeah.
West has had 7 years to improve. And it's
not
only recently that he started to improve.
Mm-hmm.
So Don West goes down. Mike Hogwood is okay.
Good.
Number seven. Todd Grisham.
Who is Grisham? He's with Stryker, right?
Yeah.
He's with Stryker.
I put him just above Prazak, but below Lawler.
That's about right. Yeah.
That's about right.
He's getting better. He really is.
Put him
he even got Stryker once this week.
Okay, so in between Lawler and Prazak, we have him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It was Grisham, Prazak, Hogwood West.
Grisham, where did...
And now we might have some disputes for this one on where we place him. Mike Tenay.
Okay, give me the actual order you have. You have Ross.
Ross, Taz, Lawler, Grisham, Prazak, Hogwood, Don West.
Above Grisham.
Dang! I'm in complete and utter agreement again!
I disagree with you two. Tenay goes above Lawler.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd put him above Lawler.
I'd put him just under Jim Ross.
That breaks the tie.
Because if it wasn't for Don West, Tenay actually knows his shit. That's why they call him Professor.
That breaks the tie then, because since Nikki picked somebody higher than the tie, breaks the tie in favor of the highest thing. So according to Who's Your Daddy Food Chain rules, Mike Tenay goes above Todd Grisham. Or he goes above Jerry Lawler, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, he goes above Jerry Lawler. That's right.
Yep.
Take Don West out of the equation. You listen to his WCW work. He is a great play-by-play guy. He's also a good color guy. He can do either one.
You listen to his stuff from the Collision, from When Worlds Collide, that pay-per-view. That is great stuff. Next. I don't know about you guys, but I know where I'm placing Michael Cole.
Hello, everyone.
Second round 101.
You want to know something?
He's already there.
Instead of John Heidenreich?
Back.
honestly, actually.
Let me explain to you why I'm putting him on the bottom. Because of the fact that
he's supposed to be the best color guy and just is so fake and blows moves all the time. That's all.
He's a play-by-play guy and not a good one at that. I'd probably put him above Hogwood, but I wouldn't put him at the very, very bottom.
I'm putting him at the very, very bottom. He's awful.
I'm putting him right above Hogwood myself. Mainly because, well, Hogwood's yet to really prove himself, and Don West, well, sucks balls. He's had 7 years.
Yeah, but Michael Cole's been sucking for 12 years.
Yeah, I was about to say, Cole's been
sucking. As an interviewer, he's allowed to suck.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I'm putting him below Hogwood, but I'm putting him right above Don West.
Unfortunately, that's the middling ground. And I'm not allowing that. Cole is the bottom.
And not just because he likes it that way.
Oh!
Yes!
Wow!
Vintage sport.
Damn!
This is further proof why we put him on the bottom. Take a look at these behind... the latest behind the ropes thing.
He's on a coal roll.
Okay, next, what's up?
Oh my.
The last one for the current guys, Matt Stryker.
The very, very freaking top.
Yeah, top.
Right. Actually, I do slightly object. I would put him right below Jim Ross.
No.
Above
Jim Ross.
I break the tie. He's above Jim Ross.
Thank you.
Oh, my.
Because
Stryker still calls moves. Jim Ross doesn't know a wrist lock from a wristwatch anymore.
No. Yeah, he doesn't even know. Ross has made more mistakes in the last 2 years, you know, and big ones, too. And it's, you know, that sort of
what's
stuff.
What's the
fake?
And it helps that Matt Stryker also speaks five different dialects of geek.
Yes. Believe me.
I also loved it from when the Lumberjacks, that's what I'm trying to say, the Lumberjacks came down. He started listing off the tag teams, and then he just immediately cuts with Mike Enos and Wayne Bloom. Oh, no, that's somebody else.
Exactly.
Anybody that gets a Destruction Crew reference in an episode of ECW automatically shoots to the top.
No, I'll give you an even better one where he's talking about the Bella Twins. Grisham says, can you tell them apart? He says, not really. I just refer to them as Zan and Jaina.
Oof.
Wow.
Friends reference. Win.
Yeah. Okay. You guys ready for the special selections?
Sure.
Yep. I said six, but I actually had to place eight on here.
Wow.
So we got, what, 15 minutes to get through eight?
Yeah, about 10 minutes to get through eight. Ready?
Yep.
Ready.
Go.
First up, Tony Schiavone.
Schiavone?
Middle.
Right below Tanay, right above Waller.
Yeah, he's in that. Yeah, exactly. Schiavone is sort of that way, in the middle.
I'd have put him lower than that, but.
Let's be honest, for the 80s, the mid to late 80s, before Ross came in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hit 19, then you hit 2000 for the beginning and the end of his announcing career. He's dealt with utter crap for color commentators. I'm not dissing Scott Hudson on this one, but listen to this motley crew of people you had to deal with. David Crockett.
Oi.
Mark Madden.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on the very, 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 very bottom under everybody else, even freaking Cole.
Yeah.
Stevie Ray.
Oh, God.
Rob, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rushing you, but.
Disco Inferno. But he goes below Mike Tenay and above Jerry Lawler. Next. Oh, my God. Joey Styles.
Just above Taz.
Yeah, above Taz.
Yeah, just above Taz.
He actually, he brought emotion to it, and a lot of his early ECW days, if you watch him on the ECW stuff, he's really good. You know, he really brought emotion to what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the Elite Eight is all but set.
All right, next up. Jesse Ventura.
Above Taz, I would say. I like Taz, but no one can compare in that area to Jess and the former wrestler, turned color man.
Yeah, that is about right, because for his time, he was the epitome of what a heel guy would do.
Yeah.
If you want to see what an example of a heel, every heel commentator behind Jesse Ventura has him to look as the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Except for one other person, which I hope you may have here.
I know who you're talking about. I do have him on here, but I would put Jesse Ventura above Joey Styles.
Ooh.
Okay.
But that's my personal opinion. However, I am voted down on it. So, to go over the list right now of 13, Striker up top, Ross, Styles, Jesse Ventura, Taz, Mike Tenay, Tony Schiavone, Jerry Lawler, Todd Grisham, Dave Prezak, Mike Hogwood, Don West, and Michael Cole. Next up, I think I'm going to have to put him on top, Gorilla Monsoon.
No way.
I'd put him,
quite.
Below Jim Ross.
Yeah.
Because he relied too much on, you know, repeating phrases and all that stuff. And he really, to me, did not appeal as a broadcaster. He just didn't. He was good. But there was somebody as the face announcer of the WWE who, believe it or not, was actually better.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to think I'm nuts when I say it later, if he's on there, too.
So, below Jim Ross for Gorilla.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that fair?
Straight. Okay.
Nikki, you there?
And I think this is the guy who you're referring to, Jason. Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Yeah, he's got to go below. He's got to go below Jim Ross as well, because he, you know, as an announcer, he is so much better than Mr. McMahon, the character. He got the product over.
I never liked his commentary personally.
Me neither.
So where do you
what
want
a maneuver!
I would put him. I'd put him just above Don West. I really did not care for his commentary.
I would put Vince McMahon above Todd Grisham.
Ow.
Wow.
And I would put him right.
Not genuine to me in any instance. Every time I listen to his commentary.
At the beginning, he said he was thrown in there. He was not. He was a behind-the-scenes guy. He wasn't meant to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He said that on
his DVD. And in 1995, he sounded like crap.
Well, who would you rather listen to? And remember, Jim Ross was on the shelf at that time. Vince, who would you rather have? Who would you have left to do the commentary? Guess who's left? Todd Pettengill.
Hey,
chance.
Put a Pettengill, Stephanie Y, and Raw.
Okay.
So who's next on the hit parade?
So Vince McMahon, just for sake of fairness, goes above Jerry Lawler because that's the middling ground.
Yep, and that's exactly where I would have put him.
Next up, I think everybody's favorite, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
best commentator ever, even better than Jesse Ventura, above him.
Above Ventura, maybe below Styles.
I was going to say above Ventura, but not by much. I think they both really can't be truly compared in a way. Does somehow Heenan mix in comedy with seriousness? Jesse was mostly serious, and I think that's where they did their styles differently.
I was going to say I loved Bobby Heenan so much.
I was
going to put him above Jim Ross.
Whereas me, I would put him right below Ross and right above Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah, I'm with Stapley on this. I'm going below Ross, above Gorilla.
Okay,
that's where I said it. Did I say?
Okay, let me get the list right now. Stryker, Ross, Heenan. Gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
Styles. Ventura. Taz.
Mm-hmm.
Tanay.
Yep.
Shivani. McMahon. Waller. Grisham. Brazek, Hogwood, West, and Cole.
Right.
Yep.
And we have two left. We're going to Memphis and Lance Russell.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Who?
No, nothing.
You guys never heard Lance Russell before?
No.
No.
Nope.
Vaguely, but...
Yeah, I've heard him.
I would put him in a thrown-out category due to lack of intelligence for him.
I think it's kind of pointless for me to do the last one because I don't think any of you heard of him. I think maybe Jason and Typhon and myself. But we'll put the last two away. And Lance Russell, look up the Memphis stuff. You'll hear Lance Russell. He does tell a great match.
And who was the other one?
Bob Caudle.
Never heard of him either.
Huh?
I think, okay, you're missing people like Gordon Solie, for example.
Oh, fuck!
Okay.
I forgot about Gordon Solie. Oh.
On you.
Okay, how could you forget Gordon Solie? He was
fired.
Yeah. So he is the dean of wrestling announcers.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
Failed to settlement.
Where's Herb Abrams?
Yeah.
They already threw Herb Abrams in the room. This is for me.
Whoa! Bob, I got a question. When you did that,
and Soli's going up. Thanks, Jim Ross. Thanks, Jason. Soli's going up top.
Yeah.
Soli's above Stryker.
Yeah. Soli deserves to be up on top. He was the greatest announcer of all time. Period. End of story.
Okay, we have our list. And I will make this, I will edit this commentary into a YouTube video. It'll have to be two parts.
Yeah.
So here we go. Gordon Solie, he's the daddy. Followed by Stryker, Jim Ross, Bobby Heenan, Gorilla Monsoon, Joey Styles, Jesse Ventura, Taz, if I count. Taz and Mike Tanay are the middle guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Shivani. I think his later days killed him.
Yeah.
Let me ask everybody. Yeah.
99 to 2001. He really
did. Yeah, that killed him. McMahon, Waller, Grisham, Dave Prazak, Mike Hogwood, Don West, and the bottom boy, Michael Cole. That's the list.
And Mark Madden would have been even lower than Cole, but
pretty much.
Yeah.
Mark Madden would have been lower.
Mike Adamley.
And that's it for the show. We will see you in the archives. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
See you live, audience.
We're in archives?
Yeah, we're in archives. That was a. What do you guys think of the food chain?
Not bad.
Yeah.
Good. Where would Chris Kloss go on the food chain?
The bottom.
To hell.
You gotta love his little scream.
Blow Michael Cole. Blow a piece.
Guys, I'm gonna take off. I'll talk to you guys next week. Okay.
Later.
Hey, Jason.
Later, Jason.
Yes.
One other thing. 10 days from now, we get to see the Newlywed Game and the new season of Catch 21 on the air. So that means I think next week we get to see your episode of Catch 21 for the last time.
Well, for now, you know they'll do the but you know what? That's okay. That's all good. I wish they would, you know, I would have gotten $1,000 for each time I won that episode, but you know what? That's fine. But, you know, anyway. Seriously, and also just polish the keys up for you know, we've got 10 days before Nikki and I get to host the show. Correct, Ms. Sanders?
Yeah.
Yes, because there's a certain rainbow-haired enigma that's got a little bit of work to do next Sunday.
Yes. And once he completes that match, it is official. And yes, crow will be eaten. How do you like yours, braised or blackened?
I mean, the odds were not in my favor to begin with, and
No. You know what?
Right.
Honestly, let me tell you something. I will be fair about this. You had a right to think that way. At that time, when you made the bet last fall.
Mm-hmm.
However, Nikki and I knew better. And Nikki, you know, the idea is that if he was going to screw up that badly, you know, for a third time, it's on him. And we would have, we would have taken it the whole way. That's fine. But the idea is this. He is now in, actually, I think, the program of his life right now. Am I correct, Nikki?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
I mean, this is his main event program that's going to keep him for a bit. And I think they've been building it beautifully, and they've been doing fantastic with it. So.
And what they dub Matt Hardy this week, the Black
Cloud. He's been calling himself that on his MySpace page.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, he's calling himself the Black Cloud. Is next week 2 hours?
Yes, next week is the special 2-hour show. It'll also be the 2-hour show that we do at WrestleMania Around the Horn, WrestleMania Room 101, and WrestleMania Robert Sadlin polishes the keys and hands them over to Jason and Nikki, and next week Robert Sadlin takes a 2-week vacation.
No,
moral of the story, only John Cena overcomes the odds.
Oh.
Whoa!
By the way, 12 rounds in the theaters.
No. Speaking of Cena, I was going to leave, but I think I have to read this. This is the quote he made in the New York Daily News. Steroids are the personal choice of the athlete, and A-Rod got defensive, saying he used because he felt he needed to. If there was a set of legal stipulations set in place, he may have never even considered it. The government should take the initiative, and if you get caught using drugs, then you should go to jail. A criminal record will hurt your endorsements and long-term contracts. Unquote. Okay, I hope and pray, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that he does not fail a wellness test. No joke. Okay?
Well,
did he in that same interview say people who key cars should be executed?
No. Okay, go on. What you were saying, Nikki?
No, I said he won't, because if he was an athlete in high school and college, he's peed in a cup enough times to know better. Plus, he has the bodybuilding background, which is the same thing for Batista and Triple H. So for all you guys who keep saying they're on steroids, they're not.
Mm-mm.
Those two guys have 20 years each of bodybuilding experience, and you can get a body like that from GNC and not from a mail order catalog in Canada.
But now here's the question, though, and this is a very serious one, and boy, I'm just, oh boy, I opened up a can of worms. And Nikki and I talked about this week, okay? Won't there be in the, well, let me try and put it to something that I know, okay? There is a certain segment of the population that believes that American Idol is rigged, correct? That people believe that the producers are voting for the people that they want to continue forward.
They call those people Danny Noriega and Sanjaya Malakar fans.
Right, but I'm just letting you know, all right? But the second question is that, unfortunately, in today's day and age, the way wrestling fans are, sophisticated or not, there is a segment of the population that believes that every wrestler is on steroids until they get caught.
No.
You don't think so? You don't think there are some wrestling fans that believe that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not doubting that some wrestling fans believe that. I think I think there's a couple of them on the WrestleCrap forums that believe that, which is the place where I head off to. Jason, I think you know some people on wrestling forums that you frequent. And Nikki knows some people on the on different forums, the online off-top forums, that probably think that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can probably guarantee you right now you find a couple
of us who thought that.
But
it all comes down to this, okay? The question, the idea is that because of the whole steroids incident and the idea of the era of steroids and the era of drugs in professional wrestling in the 70s, 80s, and the 90s. The question is, though, do we really know what a percentage of the wrestlers do drugs or not?
When you guess guys like Noble and Funaki are clean and they turn up positive, you really can't figure it out. I mean, I'm not saying everyone is. I'm just saying that I don't think anyone can really tell apart from testing.
Right, and that's why I really get irritated when people start making steroid jokes about Big Dave or the Evil Knock, or, you know, shit, Edge went on record and at least said, yes, okay, fine, I did. But that was to help get my neck better. I'm not taking them now. And they seem, oh, nah, he's back, so he's going to go ahead and take them. He's going to go ahead and keep taking them so they can keep performing. No. Even Scott Keith likes to jump on that bandwagon. I have one of his books.
All I'm saying is that there is a perception. A perception, like I said, until someone fails a test. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't believe, personally, I don't think Cena does. Okay? But, you know, there's a point. You know,
403.
So anyway, listen, I gotta go. So I'm gonna hang up, guys. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, take care, Jason. See you next week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, before we got on the whole steroids thing, I was gonna make a reference to. Speaking of teams that can't overcome the odds. Gonzaga just got drilled.
Somewhere Virgil cries. No,
yeah,
I bring that up.
Somebody visited his booth again.
Well, no. If you've ever dug around for pictures for Virgil on the internet, and I didn't do this, somebody went and looked for pictures of Virgil, and every time they found him, up till recently, he was always wearing a Gonzaga jersey. When I finally decided to get a picture with him in Cincinnati, he was wearing an Under Armour shirt, which I found strange. So I took the picture, and I posted it, on the site in question, and sure enough, the first post was, oh my God, he bought a new shirt!
And didn't he make your Who's That winner for 2007?
He was on my Why Did You Recruit list, yeah. A category I didn't have this year. I don't remember. I'd have to go look it up. It wouldn't surprise me if you... No, he didn't even win that. He couldn't even win a Why Did You Recruit Him list.
Who won that?
I'm going to go look. Now you're going to make me go look. Talk amongst yourself while I go find this.
Who watched the Dirt Sheet on WWE.com today?
I didn't.
Not I.
It got hijacked again.
By who?
Primo and Carlito.
Yay.
Damn colons.
That's colons. There's an accent there.
Mm-hmm. So... we got new Superstar show coming on. That's a show I'll have to torrent. You guys still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're
here. All right. So, Superstars, who can watch that?
I can.
I can watch it, and I can watch it in high def. But I can't watch the other shows in high def, Boo Hiss and Black.
You can't watch Raw, you can't watch ECW, you can't watch TNA, and you can't watch SmackDown in high def.
Correct. But for some reason, I can watch WGN in high def.
Okay, I got a question for everybody. Suppose if my network goes boom in 2010...
40-60, they'll go under.
Huh?
I'm thinking that it's going to be like a 60% chance that they'll go under.
Yeah.
I kind of got it earlier than that.
It's only got one show.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're not forking over any money for any... For the 2010 television season, they aren't forking over any more money for new shows.
That's going to be a problem.
Okay. The 2007 Why Did You Recruit Him award went to Matt Stryker.
And look at him now.
Yep.
If anyone asks why you recruited him, you can just say, swagger.
No, like I said, my answer to that is the answer that he gave me when I got to talk to him again. I re-recruited him in September of 2008, and I asked him how many different languages of geek he spoke. And he said, well, let's see, I'm a music geek, I'm a sports geek. You already know that I'm a comic book geek. He said, are you a gaming geek, sir? And he says, what do you mean? And I said 3.0 or 3.5, referring to versions of Dungeons & Dragons. He responded 3.0 without even asking me what I was talking about. So, yes, he also speaks Gamer Nerd.
And his final one is wrestling. That means I have a question.
Sure.
Don't you wish Beat the Geeks were still on the air right now and he would go on there and whip ass?
What am I going to watch that?
I think he would actually do very, very well for himself. He'd be like the Goldberg of that place.
Well, yeah, he'd be like the movie geek. Strick would do a lot better than the so-called wrestling geek that they had on there.
Uh-oh.
I can't remember who they had doing that.
A guy by the name of Rudy Bolo. He was the wrestling geek. He, not to diss on the guy, but you could barely understand the English that he was saying.
Ooh.
Ouch.
And
he made Hoobentude look like the Rock.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, they had other guest geeks on there, which were pretty cool. They actually had a Simpsons writer, Dana Gould, on there.
Ooh.
I have his episode as the Planet of the Apes geek. And he said when he came out of the door, "I am such a fan of Planet of the Apes that during mating season, my butt also swells up and gets red." Hi, Mom!
Yikes!
Ew!
For some reason, I'd want to see the angry video game nerd on there just to see how fast the sensors would censor him.
He's actually a really, I mean, AVGN stuff aside, he's actually a really pretty cool guy. For reference, look up Rocky Jump to Park Bench. He's like a D-list celebrity now.
And at least he actually does something productive.
I mean, yeah, and he gets paid to do the AVGN videos.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I should get into doing videos. I got some indie stuff for you guys.
Oh, cool!
I got fired and rehired by UWA.
Wee.
Fired and rehired.
Okay. Well, actually, the firing happened back in February. After the second show, I received a notice that I was going to be wished well in my future endeavors. And I thought this was really strange, so I did some research, and apparently I was asking for too much money. Odd. I just wanted enough to fill my gas tank because I was driving 2 hours to the show. So this last Saturday, I went to the UWA show anyway, just to see if they'll let me work. Now, there's three honchos. The one who sent me the stuff, and sent me the letter, his name's Frank. His partner, Kenny, and then the head booker, Jason. I show up at 4 o'clock, and Kenny sees me outside talking on the phone. He says, "So what are you doing here?" I said, "I still want to work." He says, "I think it's all a very big misunderstanding. Come on inside." So I go inside, and I help start with the setup. Frank walks in, and I'm the first person he sees. He says, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm here to work." He says, "I fired you." I said, "Yes, you did. I read the email. I sent you 2 responses. You did not reply." He says, "You're lucky I told you why you got fired. You said budget cuts. You didn't tell me that, you know, you didn't, that's ludicrous since you didn't even, I didn't even fill out the paper to say how much you were actually paying me." He says, "What is the right to work state?" Yeah, and I'm here to work. So Kenny walks in, he says, "Look, she's here. At least let her do something." So I went in and did my managing work. Managed Adrenaline X to their UWA Tag Team Championship gold. Enjoyed a otherwise uneventful show, save for Cody Hawk having a 1-inch gash on his forehead. Hard weighed from a piece of wood from the ring.
Ouch.
Yeah. But as the dust settled from the show, I walked over to Frank and shook his hand. And what did he say to me? "I'll see you in May." So I've been fired and rehired in the course of 6 weeks. Thank you.
You more time.
I remind you of crime
Marty
time.
Jannetty of the promotion.
What's that?
You could become the Marty Jannetty of the promotion.
I haven't gotten my new fired letter yet. I also, last Thursday was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank
you. Which everybody whiffed on.
What's that?
I personally whipped on and made up for you on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't tell that story.
No. I wasn't talking about that one. I don't know if Jason said happy birthday to you.
He did.
Oh.
But Thursday was my birthday, and I had to go work Jimmy's. So none of them knew it was my birthday, and I kind of made sure of that because wrestlers love to prank their fellow workers on their birthdays. Ask Justin Roberts.
What happened to him?
On his birthday, he was working a house show in Wheeling, and the ring announcer stays out there for the entire show. The main event that particular evening was Triple H and Chris Masters versus John Cena and Ric Flair. Late in the match, it was John Cena and Masters going through the finish. No sign of Triple H. John Cena pins Masters, he wins to send everybody home happy, except he picks up the microphone and says, wait, nobody move, we got a birthday in the house. Triple H then reappears because he was busy hog-tying Justin Roberts with athletic tape. He's back in the ring. They stand him up, get the whole arena to sing happy birthday to him. He takes a cake to the face and two cans of whipped cream.
Oh.
I have pictures.
Good thing JBL wasn't around.
There would have been soap involved. Anyway, So, anyway, worked my show at Jimmy's. I was managing in the opening match, but all workers usually stay through the rest of the show unless they have another show. I'd already gotten changed, and I was just shooting the breeze with everybody, looking over some shoulders to watch a tag match that was going on. Rosie, yes, the former Crusader Rosie, and Buffalo Brian Jennings versus a pair of OVW guys, Ben Outlaw and Raul Loco from the Los Locos tag team.
Ah.
Raul, unfortunately, made an error, or perhaps Rosie had made an error, and Mr. Raul's shoulder got popped out of joint. He forgot to notify everybody and rolled out of the ring and jumped to the back, holding his shoulder and cussing his head off. So everybody's asking, where's the nearest hospital? And I said, give me a second. I went and got my GPS, because I don't know the area real well either. Looked up a hospital and said, I can find one that's about 10 minutes from here. They got him a shirt, carefully put it on him. He made sure he had his wallet so he could have his medical information. We poured him into my car, and I drove him to the hospital, got him checked in, and stayed with him. He came up with a couple of other OVW guys, Rudy Switchblade and Johnny Punch. And we had a couple of phone calls come through saying, hey, you know, where's that hospital so that we can come get him? Give him the address. They got him in the back. They went and took an x-ray just to make sure he didn't do any other damage. They were bringing him back just as Jimmy, Ben Outlaw, Johnny Punch, and Rudy Switchblade come in. The doctor sees all these big burly guys walk in. He looks them over. He says, all right, which one of you guys did that to him? So we all got a laugh out of that. They got real resituated. And one of the other wrestlers turned to Jimmy and said, so is this your first time here? Which Jimmy started laughing. He says, no. Don't, you know, this is my first time being at this hospital, and no, I haven't had to come over here for anything else. Wrestler humor. But it felt good to really help a brother out. It really did. Funny that giving a gift on my birthday. And Raul, if by some odd chance you actually hear this stuff, hope you're doing all right, man.
He's all right, too.
Yeah. I'm not telling the HWA story. Sorry, guys. That one does not get aired. If you guys want to ask me, I'm not even going to tell you my IM over on the air either. If you've got my IM, come get me. So, I'm going to disappear for now, though.
All right.
Gentlemen, it's been fun. It's real, and it's always really fun. So, you know, if I sounded kind of grumbly tonight, my apologies.
That's okay, and tomorrow night's a 2-hour special, so that means 2 times the action, 2 times the suspense, and the twice as many times I won't be able to talk.
Is tomorrow night?
Oh, boy. Next Friday, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And then 2 Fridays after that. I'm wondering, Nikki, do you want to go first, or do you want Jason to go first?
We'll get back with you on that. I'll talk to Jason about that over the weekend.
I'll give you
$5 You and Jason hash it out. I'll schedule it, and I will see you guys in 3 weeks.
All right. Now, who said what over here?
Yeah, I was going to say I'll give you $5 to leave the door of the room open a crack.
and
you're
going to... What if Heidenreich got out this time?
Yeah.
Somebody hit the angle button, please.
I can't. The soundboard's down.
Good old Blog Talk Radio. Good job.
Or do you know the stipulation in order for you to get out of room 101?
Oh, God.
I'll bring the sign. Do you think they'll confiscate it, though? Because I might write it on the sign at the event. Maybe I'll put something else on the other side. Do you think I should do that? Or?
Yeah.
Definitely put something on the other side. What were you gonna write? I got out of room 101.
He has to bring a sign that says, "Let me out of room 101." And it has to make air.
That's awesome.
Or you have another choice. Let me out of room 101. Or the other sign forth. And it's the sign that Typho got stuck with for 30 days.
Do the room 101 sign, man. It's safer.
Yeah,
Robert Q. Seidelman is the sexiest man alive.
What?
Good time.
What if I Photoshop your head on a People magazine cover with the words "sexiest man alive"?
That works, I think.
Sure.
I probably won't do it though. I'll do the first one. But
okay. But if you manage to sneak that by, put up People magazine of my head. Robert T. Seidelman is the sexiest man alive.
I'll be on all 3 TV shows this week. Maybe I'll try to slip it in.
I was going to say, I'm going with other people, so they probably won't get the first sign enough. The second one will probably get me mocked until the end of time.
What's the second sign?
The sexiest man alive sign. So,
oh.
I'm going to say I have to go with the first one, because at least then they won't get it, as opposed to making fun of me nonstop.
Spring sign is
exactly safe. Put
Tina's number one, and just add to it later.
But that's the deal, Fork. Let me out of room 101. You bring that sign to what show are you going to? Backlash.
Yep.
Bring that sign. If it makes air, you're out. You're out of room 101.
All right.
But don't bring anybody with you. I'm looking at you, Brayden Walker. Anyway,
No, I'll just buy him some Carvel. We'll be safe.
No. You gotta get him a box of Krispy Kreme donuts.
White Castle.
Just one box.
I could just give him the DVD, How to Perform a Cross Body Without Almost Killing a Man.
Oh. package of the Photoshop DVD Mark Henry Extreme High Flying.
By the way, I was wondering about the Randy Savage DVD that's going to be coming out. It looks like it's going to be how they are currently doing DVDs right now.
They got pissed off?
Which is sad.
No documentary.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, the problem would be that without Savage, it would probably only seem like one side.
All self-destruction.
Yeah. Well, at least we're getting something Macho Man related, though, is the thing.
Well, we had a whole bunch of Macho Man off of Saturday Night's Main Event DVD.
Yep.
I think Disc 2 was almost all Macho Man. I mean, you know how some people ruled pay-per-views?
Mm-hmm.
Like Hogan and the Warrior?
Mm-hmm.
At the time ruled pay-per-views? Savage ruled Saturday Night's Main Event.
I guess it was where the superpowers formed and then started to self-destruct.
Mega Powers, that was, I want to say WrestleMania 4.
Yeah.
When the Mega Powers formed.
Yeah, but I thought it started, didn't it start when Elizabeth brought Hogan out to save Savage from the Hart Foundation and Honky Tonk Man, or?
Oh, yeah, that. I think so.
They kind of helped each other off on.
That happened, and then I remember it was the main event. The main event right after Royal Rumble 1989. That's when the Mega Powers broke up after their match with the Twin Towers.
Which, if you watch that match, why Hogan isn't the heel, I don't know. He ditches his damn partner to face the Twin Towers by himself for like 10 minutes. then when Savage walks away, the announcers go all crazy. Oh, how could he do that? Well, Hogan had already left for 10 minutes.
That's right. Thanks to his feuds with Orndorff and Savage, he out-tasted Batista by about 20 years in the face of a heel category.
Okay, guys, I'm actually going to go ahead and head out. Have a good night.
Yeah, me too. All right,
I'll see you.
All right, let's...
That's probably a good place to drop it.
Yeah, all right, question. Now, for room 101, I mean, for Around the Horn, I can only take four. I could possibly do a five-person show.
I'm going to take a break this week from room 101, I think.
For Around the Horn? Okay, I know I have Jason and Nikki. They're kind of like the... Woody Page, G. Mariotti type. Yes. Nikki being Woody Page and Jason being J. Mariotti.
Typho's Tim Callishaw.
Typho's Tim Callishaw? I guess that makes you... BRM, that makes you... I think that makes you a Donde.
Oh, God.
I think whoever gets off first on that one.
That makes fourth, right. Or Jackie McMullen.
Pretty much.
And I guess that makes Stepo Josh Henniger Reverend Bill Plaschke.
If I ever show up. I may, I don't know. Depends completely on how quickly I get out of my D&D game that goes on, well, earlier tonight.
Geek.
And every Friday.
Geek.
Yes, and?
I know, pot called kettle's black too.
All right. On that note, let's get out of here and pick up our Brandon Morrow bobbleheads.
Everybody go see right. 12 rounds.
No!
No!
Why not another A-Team episode?
I mean, there's a second lost A-Team episode?
Yeah, the Marine, then the music video, now this.
Oh, God.
Okay, if you want to laugh, go see Super Capers. Trust me.
Or just watch a Castlevania speedrun on YouTube.
No, if I'm going to watch something Castlevania-related, I want all of you to watch the Castlevania reviews that my friend Tim Connolly did.
Sure.
I mean, the only person who I haven't mentioned this episode was Gordon. Ah, crap.
Good night.
You know, one of these days, I don't know, Gordon Pepper's probably not a wrestling fan, but we got to get him on the show for posterity's sake. Let me throw him into room 101.
We'll do it when you get back, after Mania.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good night, everyone.
Night, folks.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.